The following program was first broadcast in January of 2009.
Who can protest and does not is an accomplice in the act.
As the world watches, Gaza is in flames. Its people are caught in a war they are powerless to stop. Thousands of activists for peace in Israel, North America, and the world over have demonstrated for an end to the violence. It continues. Here, on the east end of Long Island and in Connecticut, individuals and peace groups called on their elected representatives in vain to help stop the violence. Congress voted for a resolution to support Israel's right to defend itself. It is U.S. funding for arms for Israel that has made the war and its continuation possible. But there is still at least one thing we can do. The U.S.-based Middle East Children's Alliance, working with their Gaza Projects Director, Dr. Mona El-Farah, has purchased medicines and is attempting to get a large shipment delivered to Gaza via Israel and Egypt. We can donate to a fund to provide more help. Contact the Middle East Children's Alliance by going to their website, meccaforpeace.org, that is www.meca.org. Now we present a reading from We Begin Here, Poems for Palestine and Lebanon. We Begin Here was edited by France-based writer Kamal Boulata and East Ender Kathy Engel, a poet, teacher, activist, and a founding advisor of Mecca. We Begin Here was published by Interlink Books. This reading was recorded in June of 2007 at Canio's Books in Sag Harbor, New York. Co-editor Kamal Boulata is an artist, writer, and editor now living in France. Among the books he has edited are Modern Poetry by Arab Women and Poems by Mahmoud Darwish. In the introduction to We Begin Here, Kamal Boulata quotes Susan Sontag. No we should be taken for granted when the subject is other people's pain. Boulata writes, in these poems, written in response to the serial wars ravaging the peoples of the Middle East, the we is as much them as it is us. If, due to our safe distance from the war zones, we fail to hold this reality in mind, it's not because we're different people with different ethnic or national identities, but that we lack basic human imagination and empathy. Co-editor Kathy Engel is a poet, teacher, producer, and consultant for social justice and peace organizations. She's the founder of the international women's rights organization Madre and a co-founder of East End Women in Black. She serves on the board of the U.S. campaign to end the Israeli occupation. In the preface to part one of the book, Kathy Engel writes, we begin here, in the space between words. Our multilingual sounds affirm presence, conscience, memory, community. Commenting on the book, Kathy Engel told us, this book, these poems, are our way of keeping stories alive, respecting the pain, resilience, and struggles of people living in intolerable conditions under occupation, acting as linguistic, cultural, and human bridges in resistance to the attempt to silence and deny. This work represents our way of acting as peacemakers while those with money, power, and weapons crush lives and souls, bury history. The lyrics are a soul call for justice. Kathy Engel started the reading with Harvesting Strawberries from We Begin Here, Poems for Palestine and Lebanon.
In summer, my teenage daughters, hair waving freckles, legs and arms swinging, walk barefoot to the garden in our backyard, pick greens, wash them, make salad, or cook with olive oil and garlic, and we eat together on the wooden table under the mimosa tree, beside hammocks and chimes, then drive or walk 3 miles to plunge in the Atlantic. On January 4th, 2005, 6 Palestinian children, ages 11 to 17, harvesting strawberries, were killed by Israeli military, paid in part with dollars we send in taxes from our jobs. A newspaper photo showed an almond-eyed boy carrying the body of his younger brother. The children were harvesting strawberries. Now I'm going to read a poem by Naomi Shihab Nye. It's called Letters My Prez Is Not Sending. Dear Rafiq, sorry about that soccer game you won't be attending since you now have no. Dear Fauzia, you know I have a mom too, so I can imagine what you. Dear Shadia, think about your father versus democracy. I'll bet you'd pick. No, no, Sami, that's not true what you said at the rally, that our country hates you. We really support your move toward freedom. That's why you no longer have a house or a family or a village. Dear Hassan, if only you could see the bigger picture. Dear Mary, I'm surprised you have what we would call a Christian name, since you yourself. Dear Rabia, sorry about that heart attack. I know it must have been rough to live your entire life under brutal occupation. We're just sending a few more bombs over now to fortify your oppressors, but someday we hope for peace in the region. Sorry you won't be there to see it. Dear Suher, surely a voice is made to be raised. That's why we admire how you have been speaking up. But don't you see we are also speaking up for your own interests? Dear Sharif, violence is wrong unless we are using it. Why doesn't that make sense? Dear Nadia, I did not know about your special drawer. You know, I like to keep a few things too that have meaning to me. Dear Ramzi, you really need to stop crying now and go on about your business. Dear Dado, I know 5 kids must feel like a lot to lose in one swoop, but we can't stop our efforts. Dear Fatima, of course I have feelings for your own people. My college roommate was from Lebanon. Dear Mahmoud, I would answer your letter, but you must understand, I still have all those people I'm not answering in Iraq. The next poet is Naomi Lazard, who lives here on the East End in East Hampton. She's the author of several collections of poetry, including Cry of the Peacocks, The Moonlight Upper Deck Arena, and Ordinances. Her poems have appeared in the American Poetry Review, The Nation, Harper's, and The New Yorker.
I'm going to read the poem I have in this book, Elegy to the 20 Skiers. After the accident, it was clear the pilots were zooming through the high valley, practicing low-level flying for combat. That is a war. They were machine gun bullets, zapping in and out of the thin, high clouds. Maybe the 20 people trapped in the gondola, whose cable the plane snapped because the pilot was hot-dogging. Maybe those people who fell 360 feet to their death were also practicing in a war. There are, of course, always victims, the random selections of fate. The only difference is this: the dead are never informed in advance. Their participation is necessary.
You're listening to East End Inc. on WPKN Bridgeport and WPKN Montauk. Today we're presenting a reading from We Begin Here, Poems for Palestine and Lebanon. The poems are read by Kathy Engel, Naomi Lazard, Margaret Gibson, Catherine Levy, and Reverend Osagafo Sekou. It was recorded in June of 2007 at Canio's Books in Sag Harbor, New York.
Margaret Gibson's collections include Long Walks in the Afternoon, the 1982 Lamont Selection of the Academy of American Poets, and The Vigil. A finalist for the National Book Award, she has been awarded 2 pushcard prizes, the James B. Boatwright Prize, and the Melville Kane Award of the Poetry Society of America. She is a visiting professor at the University of Connecticut.
The poem I'm going to read first, I'm going to read 2 poems of mine and then one by E. Ethelbert Miller. The poem that I'm going to read of mine, I wrote especially for this book, and it's called Imperative. I also want to say that the introductions in this book are moving and intelligent. They are works of the mind and the heart, and they really, really bear rereading. Who can protest and does not is an accomplice in the act. That's quoted in one of the introductions from the Talmud. So I wanted to bring you those words as a way of introduction to this poem called Imperative. Don't allow the painful moment to dissolve. Hunt through the nightfall rubble. Bring home what hurts. 2 young men in Palestine wipe their hands on their khaki shirts. Hunt through the nightfall rubble until your voice has weight in it. Look, it says, that was a dead Arab child they carried. Don't say, imagine it. Say, I see. A grief like no other. A child covered with blood. I had written a poem already called Fuel, which is on page 65 if you're following in the book. And the poem started in a very odd way. I had been angry, upset, sad, you name it, the whole spectrum of negative feelings about the war in Iraq for a long time, and unable to write. And for some reason, one morning at my desk, I focused on L, E-L. This is the syllable that started the poem. An old name for God in Hebrew is El, and lots of angels' names end with El, Gabriel, Raphael, and you'll hear a few more in the poem. I looked up El in the dictionary, and I found out that it's a measurement that merchants in the Middle Ages used to use between their middle finger and their elbow to measure cloth. And you'll need that information. And the poem is called Fuel. I am, said the voice in the oil spill of rainbow radiance, the angel of El from the deserts and gulfs of El. I looked for a face, flesh and blood I might hold accountable, a name. It saw right through me. Uriel, Eliel, Emmanuel, Fuel, said the angel. Fuel, I replied, and a human form stood before me, a merchant who turned to measuring my life as if I were cloth, judging length and price by the distance between his elbow and the tip of his middle finger. The arm wore camouflage, the shade of sand and bone. You do what suits me, Fuel smiled. He tossed the dead man's arm aside. Grenade, he said, arched his eyebrows, shrugged.
Don't ask why we're sending people to die and kill others. Ask fuel. And E. Ethelbert Miller's poem, "There are oceans left to kill." Now they are shooting holes in all the holy leaders, but we don't know who they are. We are trapped between Iraq and a hard place, a burial ground, a land of insurgents and veils. Who is shooting whom? Men die, and women die, and children die, and yesterday someone dropped a dead body from a car and pulled out a gun and shot the body again and again, and it didn't matter if it were someone who was Shiite, Sunni, or Syrian. The blood all flows together, and lately what was a stream is now a river. There are oceans left to kill. There is blood on the windowsill and blood on the floor. There is blood knocking on the door and blood dancing barefoot in the road. There is blood praying at the mosque and blood calling people to prayer. There is blood saluting the living and blood burying the dead. There is blood in Baghdad and blood singing in Babylon. There is blood on a face and blood on a hand. There is blood without a head and blood on a knife. There is blood on me and there is blood on you. There is blood on the flag and blood on the books. They are shooting holes into air and into bones and flesh. They are shooting into dreams and shooting out nightmares. They are shooting soldiers and they are shooting fools. They are shooting into schools and shooting out wombs. They are shooting mothers and cousins, grandfathers and aunts. They are shooting uncles and brothers, sons and lovers. They are shooting daughters and sisters and shooting each other. There is no death left. There are no trees. There is no wind. There is no breeze. There is just a hole the size of life, a hole the size of death. There is only one coffin left. Now who will stand in line and wait to die? Who will wait to be shot? Who will wait to kill? Who will call the doctor? Who will pay the price? Who will make the sacrifice? Whom should we forgive? What sinner will confess? Which God made this mistake? What night now finds its end? What day is this that breaks? What more can we endure? What bird no longer flies? What man no longer loves? What silent heart must learn the song of peace again? And sing again, and dream again, and come again. I'm going to have the honor now of introducing Catherine Levy. Catherine is the author of Losing the Moon, published in 2006. Her poetry and reviews have appeared in Provincetown Arts, the Manhattan Poetry Review, Blink, and East Hampton Star, and Light of City and Sea. She was the founding director of the Poetry Exchange and the New York City Ballet Poetry Project, two poetry in the school organizations.
I'm going to read a poem of mine and then another poem in the book by someone else. Whenever I read this poem, I give a little introduction to it, so some of you may have heard this. I was at a cocktail party here in Sag Harbor with a bunch of nice liberal writer types, feeling safe. That's always the first mistake. You should never feel completely safe. And I was having an argument with a fellow Jew about Israel and Palestine. Second mistake. This man said in the course of the argument, "The Palestinians have sacrificed their right to exist." Needless to say, I was fairly shocked. I argued some more, and then I gave up and drank a lot. But the comments stayed in my mind for a long time. And one day I was in my writing studio having just read another account of the murder of the European Jews in the 1940s. I was thinking a lot about the continuum of violence in human history, the blood flowing together. And that led to this poem when I thought of that line of that man's. It's from a manuscript called Reports, and it's meant to be untitled. In the place in the woods where the shooting continues, a child reaches her arm past an arm and begs again to anyone as the shooting continues. A blind man locks his body in a closet, but he still can hear. A woman bends over her sewing machine, the shots, the needle, pounding, still pounding. A little boy clutches rage in his fist. He holds it for decades. As a building tumbles, an explosion fails to murder the rage, so he tries it again. The shooting continues in anthems and speeches. They have sacrificed their right to exist. The little boy points his gun at the sky and the trees, those leaves, the birds who keep flying, refusing to care that the shooting continues. They have to be taught. He pokes two fingers into two eyes. I can't see anymore, so I have to hang on to this gun, but only until he gets what he needs. The pounding, the shooting continues. The next poem is dedicated to Rachel Corey. I presume most of you know who Rachel Corey was, but for those of you who might not, she was a young peace activist, very brave, very idealistic, who was trying to keep homes from being demolished in Rafah and Gaza. According to the UN, since 1967, over 10,000 homes of ordinary Palestinians have been demolished in the West Bank and Gaza, which is one reason for the enormous despair, one of many reasons. Anyway, Rachel Corey was standing in front of a man's house. She and her friends were arguing with the bulldozer driver, somebody from the Israeli Defense Forces, for hours. It was broad daylight. He saw her very clearly. Finally, he got disgusted, and he started to move towards her. She wouldn't move, and he rolled right over her and then rolled back. And this poem by Wade Fletcher is dedicated to her. It's called Unmovable. Little distinguishes bombs from bulldozers. The latter, with its prescribed yellow and black with iron blade, a favorite toy as a child, my micro-scaled replica once so innocent, now representing such a simple vehicle of mass destruction. Blade crushing skull, crushing hope, flattening houses, bringing on tears, pushing piles of rubble off, away, to be replaced by settlements and barbed wire, future reminders of where home once stood. She stood there plainly, her body her only weapon, at once a plea for peace and a fierce demand, wielding her privilege with defiance, staring down both life and death. The next and last reader is Reverend Sekou. He's a pastor, a writer, an educator, and an organizer. He spent the last year in New Orleans in an interfaith workers project. He founded Clergy and Laity Concerned About Iraq.
While I am not in this anthology, I am privileged to read from it. I recently returned from New Orleans, having served there in that war zone, and it is a contradiction in of itself. It is the birthplace of jazz that might be the deathbed of democracy. And wherever I'm in the world, I try to find a poetry reading. Although I am clergy, the church is not the first place that I look for inspiration. I try to find some poets to give me a little hope, and so in little church basements in Grand Rapids, Michigan, and hip-hop clubs in Portland, Oregon, I have found the words of poets to consistently sustain me in these dark days of democracy. I'll be reading from my twins, Alexis Duvaux, and the name of the poem, When Earth Is. To those who have abused our humanity. And she quotes, this shaking keeps me steady. I should know what falls away is always and is near. And that is from Theodore Recchi, The Waking, from 1953. When Earth is fed up, she will come from the Atlantic, a hurricane. This sea of bones, once daughter, mother, braid, handprint, breath, moans these bones beneath her, sacred, still. She will take those we give to war as spoils of arrogance, bodies come ashore in our tears, ravaged, revengeful, our tears cannot water memories of trees, or cleanse nightmare from daylight, a loudness of dreaming, what we owe, as above, so below. Listen, listen, when earthquakes beneath the sea, elephant and bird and snake tremble. These two legs have shackled the moon, disappeared the horizon. When earth is fed up, even fish will chant. Beware, words of a street prophet. Your chickens have come home to roost.
You've been listening to a reading from the collection We Begin Here, Poems for Palestine and Lebanon, published by Interlink Books. The readers were the book's co-editor Kathy Engel, Naomi Lazard, Margaret Gibson, Catherine Levy, and Reverend Osagafo Seku. The program was recorded in June of 2007 at Canio's Books in Sag Harbor, New York. The special encore broadcast of We Begin Here was presented in response to the present war in the occupied Gaza Strip. There is one thing we can do to alleviate the suffering of those caught in the war's grip. The Middle East Children's Alliance, based in Berkeley, California, is delivering a shipment of medicines and medical supplies to Gaza by way of Egypt and Israel. To help with this effort, go to their website, MeccaForPeace.org, that's MeccaForPeace.org, MeccaForPeace.org. East End Inc. is produced by Tony Ernst. This is Hazel Kahn.